This is a Rain Replay.
For the week of May 26, 2003, this is the Rain Report. The Hamvention went well for Rain, yielding lots of annoying precipitation on Saturday and copious amounts of audio from dozens of forums. But what do you do when you planned on running audio from the FCC forum for several weeks, only to find the FCC didn't have one? Punt! Our first excerpt from the 2003 Hamvention is a short talk by Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League of Newington, Connecticut. Among other things, Haney clears up some misconceptions surrounding the new amateur radio allocation of frequencies in the 60-meter, 5 megahertz band. And now, Jim Haney, W5JBP.
I feel very strongly about trying to make our organization grow and make it solid in the fact that we do a lot that sometimes you don't really realize, and it's important that we do these things. If amateur radio was to survive for any length of time, you need a strong voice. You need somebody to represent you. I believe in that very much in my heart because of what I see in Washington and the trips I make up there, and I think we've got a better reception today after 9/11 than we've ever had before. I've seen a definite change of attitude about amateur radio. The congressional members and the Senate members that I've talked to all say, and I agree with them because I've said this all along myself, as Walter Cronkite said, we're a fail-safe backup. There's no way that you could take out our infrastructure of communications because we're so diverse across this country. And I know that some of you may say, well, you're asking me to do all this volunteer work. No, I'm not. I'm just asking you to support it. If you, in your mind, feel like that you want to be involved in ARIES and all the other type of emergency communications that we can provide, I encourage you to do so. But don't feel like we're twisting your arm. We do have to have something to hang our hat on to justify keeping our frequencies. We just got a couple of new channels the other day, which I know you're curious about, and I'm going to tell you what that is and how we know about it and how it got started. We did some experiments back in 1998, 1999, and 2000 on the 60-meter band, 5 megahertz, and found that it was a pretty good band for use between 40 and 75. Prior to 9/11, we had petitioned for 150 kilohertz, and it looked very good. We were told verbally that that's not a problem. After 9/11, all these allocations basically were put on hold. Our federal government has gone back and reevaluated their communications systems. And they're going back to the basics. They want and have been going back to HF because that eliminates the infrastructure of cellular and some of the other sophisticated type of communications that the government has used. I'm talking about the Coast Guard, the Navy, DEA, FBI, Department of Justice, the Army, Air Force, and so on down the line. What they did was come back to and say, okay, we're going to give you 5 discrete channels in the area where we're using Coast Guard type stuff. It will be 50 watts ERP max, and it will be upper side band only. Now, I've watched some of the bulletin boards, QRZ, some of the others that are a little more sane than one I know about. And I hear and see a lot of misinformation. So right here now, I'm going to straighten this out. The type of equipment that's involved on a Coast Guard cutter and some of the other military installations or government installations is a single box, no different than some of it that you have in your car. They're upper side band only. What they have is just 100 watts, and typically on a Coast Guard cutter, it's to a 28-foot vertical antenna. This is used a lot for drug interdiction between the Coast Guard cutters that are out in the Caribbean and the DEA. I think we're extremely fortunate to get what we got because I thought we were going to deep six it whenever the NTIA wrote the letter to the commission. What that was a reevaluation. All these agencies go back, even the Corps of Engineers, went back and said, we got to go back on HF when frequencies they hadn't used in years because it's point-to-point better than a very complex type situation where you go through satellite or cell phone. My concern about the 5 megahertz, 5 channels is great because here's what can happen. We've got an opportunity here to possibly expand it. We were told, take this, don't complain, and let's see how you do. In a year or two, come back and we'll talk some more. So these 5 channels that we have is, yes, it's unusual to have channelization. It's unusual to have only one mode, upper sideband. But that's the only mode the other people use, the other government agencies. So if there is an emergency on their part, they have to be able to understand us and be able to request us to QRT or move frequency or whatever. And I want to make sure that the amateur community handles this particular opportunity very carefully. If we behave ourselves and don't get into turf wars about who's doing what and be off frequency and use expanded sideband and stuff like that, then we're going to lose it and I'll never have another opportunity to go back and get more HF. It concerns me.
We'll hear more from ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP, in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
I would like to see the amateur community, and I've discussed this with Dave Sumner, possibly we can sure get on it and test and make sure our equipment works there, but not get on so much as round tables or bag chewing, and keep it reserved for emergency-type communications. That would solve some of the problems where the commission sets aside, like in Oklahoma, 3900, 3.9, for several days while they were doing the disaster relief work in Oklahoma. They could have very easily gone down to one of these channels and done the same thing and kept that available. So I'm asking you to be a steward for me of that particular five frequencies, and let's take care of it, and later on I'm pretty confident that we can go back and expand it and make it similar to some of the other ham bands. So there you have the straight skinny on 5 megs. The big thing we're working on now, and it's coming down to a critical stage, is power line communications. We're well aware of other countries and their studies and what they've run across and all the problems they have. When Jim talked about our laboratory, right now I've got Ed Hare working 24/7 almost to put some information together. This is going to be a tough battle. The commission, including the chairman, are so infatuated with power line communications on the last mile that they haven't done any studies. They have no idea of any interference. So we're going to run in there right quick and do some of ours. And we're also going to start looking around for people to join forces with. The league is obviously doesn't have the resources of some of the people in Washington who are promoting this. They have extremely deep pockets. So we've got to do our work well, and see who else we can get to align with us and present the facts that I don't think power line communications is going to be really viable in this country because we have so many different services, not just amateur radio. I was talking to some people yesterday about some of these little county sheriffs out in West Texas. They're still using 37, 38 megahertz. And you can imagine going out to a farm and the REA line sitting there carrying all this data and he's trying to call back to the courthouse. It's not going to happen. But we want to get our facts correct first. The league has always been very careful to make sure that what we do say to the commission is accurate. And I'm very proud of our lab people for their work. I've managed to make one company look pretty silly when Ed Hare caught them in a 30 dB era. And we pointed that out to the chief of engineering and technology. And he was pretty surprised that we could do that. And he said to me, he said, "You have a lab?" I said, "Sure we do. Would you like to come and take a tour? I'd be happy to bring you to Newington and go through our operation and meet our lab people and meet our engineers up there and show you what we do." Well, he has a whole new respect for us. That was Mr. Thomas. He's the chief of Office of Engineering and Technology. It's important that we be credible. That's where a lot of your dues money goes, and you don't see it every day. It's not an obvious thing like every month when you get your QST magazine in the mail. That you relate to. What you don't relate to is all the behind-the-scenes things that we do, and it's probably 90% that you're not aware of. We're a bad publicist on our own part. We don't know how to tell people sometimes all the good stuff we do that are behind the scenes. I wish sometimes I could take all of you on a week trip. We all go to Congress and we all do those appointments together. That would be great. Then you would see how we work hard to sell amateur radio to our elected officials in Washington. Powerline is number one on our agenda. We had a meeting the night before last in my room to almost midnight with our attorney and some of the other people. We're making up a short list of who we can talk to that'll partner with us and maybe share some of the data that we have. We're going to try to do the best we can.
American Radio Relay League President Jim Haney, W5JBP, has excerpted from his address given during the ARRL Forum at Hamvention 2003. Now, a couple of personal notes from Hap Holly, KC9RP. Kudos to three friends of Rain for passing their tech exams at Hamvention. They are Byron Lee, KC9EEK, Daryl Roberts, KC9EER, and Tom DePaul, KC9EES. It will be great fun to have them join us on 220 Simplex next year at Hamvention. We would be remiss if we didn't pass along a humongous thank you to Vern Jackson, WA0RCR, from the 160-meter Gateway Radio Newsletter for his going that extra mile at Hamvention, both in and out of the booth. His better half, Dottie, KG0VN, and Hap's wife, Stephanie, KA9WKD, worked together to set up and disassemble the Rain booth. And let's not forget the selfless efforts of Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, who along with Dave Gross, KF9AV, helped with flipping tapes and tracks in the four forum rooms. Thanks also to Shirley Roberts, N8LX, and Steve Parker, KC9KU, for the use of their half-speed four-track cassette recorders used to record the forums. Maybe one of these years we'll go digital. How about it, Blair? The Rain Report is copyright 2003. Rain, all rights reserved. From This Week in Amateur Radio, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS.